Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
It was the question many of President Bush's critics had been waiting to hear for weeks.
On Iraq, the so-called Downing Street memo from July 2002 says intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy of removing Saddam through military action.
The memo says that the head of British intelligence told the British government that President Bush saw a war against Saddam as inevitable and that intelligence in Washington was, quote, being fixed around the policy.
We now have the so-called smoking gun memo from British officials, written in the summer of 2002, detailing the ways in which the Bush administration was planning to manipulate intelligence to create a culture of fear around weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to justify a war.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
so-and-so and a white fascist. Rick, they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
And the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause I'm from Sam. Got a plan, if you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars. What they doing when they up in the stars? Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really is us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got his hands off. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda.
Bomb. I said we gon' rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, it's God made man. And why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving. The same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership. Different position, they turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs, claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. The buster, can you tell me who's greedy? Big corporations, the pigs or the media. Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make them start panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe all Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, propaganda. I don't believe all Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news, motherfucking propaganda.
Some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempt to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Ah, yes. And Welcome to our Keeping On News. I am your combat reporter, Brother Tutmos Sankara, here on New Black Panther Party Radio, coming to you on this chilly solstice evening, where the spirits are high as we go into the winter season, that renewal season for African people and those who are in tune with the spirituality of the universe. And during this pandemic, we should take that as a very serious matter, staying up on our herbs, keeping our health intact. And I know everyone under the sound of my voice can resonate with that thought, and that there are those near them, dear to them, that they have lost over these last 2 years. And so as we renew ourselves in this season and go forward into struggle, as we do tonight, we want to take a very poignant focus on the continent of Africa. As the elders and comrades on the continent have been communicating with me lately, it seems as though the forces of imperialism are using the pandemic to ramp up the political pressure on the continent of Africa, and using those same mechanisms that they have used before, the IMF, the World Bank, now in conjunction with the pandemic, and then ultimately now blaming the continent. Kind of remind you of the Green Monkey thing, right? You know, now all of a sudden, out of South Africa, you have a new variant that has, at the beginning of September, that it was 3% of cases of Omicron. Now it's 75. So we see the proliferation of this virus and how this new strain of it is taking off now. And we just keep our eyes on it and be aware of it, particularly because of the fact that now, although Africa has kind of been above the fray in regards to the pandemic, not having a great outbreak as bad as other continents have, but now all of a sudden a brand new variant being blamed on the country of South Africa, and that variant being Omicron, and them claiming that it isn't as prolific as the Delta variant, but that it is more widespread. So we must keep in mind, and the comrades and I were also discussing this matter of, and we'll get into it at another time deeply. We must focus on the continent this evening, but these spike proteins, those who understand what is going on with this coronavirus disease 2019 that has been manufactured and being proliferated upon the world. So as we focus on the continent, first I would like to go back to, of course, the seat of government on the continent, that nation of Ethiopia, which is now in great turmoil. The war between the Tigray People's Liberation Front and the Ethiopian government has matriculated over the last year into a now a massive human rights crisis, where close to 500,000 people are on the brink of starvation due to the conditions on the ground. And in further research in regards to what is happening in the nation of Ethiopia, just poignantly, while Eritrea is north of Ethiopia, and as it sits on the Red Sea, and Ethiopia is there south, it sits more on the Indian Ocean. These nations and this historical family, because basically they're the same people, Tigray, Amharic, I mean, look at them. I mean, come on. It's not like they're Bantustan peoples from, you know, Nigeria or Angola. right? So there's a localized, right? So let's look at that region, right? You can put the Somalis in there, very close association, the Eritreans, the Tigray people, and the Amharic, the Oromo, and these nations within a nation that we call Ethiopia, and the conflict that is being proliferated by the United States government. So during this research, I come to find that these aid trucks and convoys that are supposed to be delivering to the Tigray People's Liberation Front, actually, after the Ethiopian military seized some of them, came to find that there were arms inside of some of these trucks that were supposed to be containing food. And so, of course, the comrades seized these arms and cease and desist on that so-called aid mission. And so now the Tigray peoples claim that the Ethiopian government is forcing them into a genocide is based upon war, bombing, and the withholding of food stuff. And so we have to look at what's inside of there, what is happening. These are United States military that the Ethiopian government intercepted, right, on this road in this convoy, taking this food to the Tigray people. Because, I mean, look at it. It's an easy one. If you destabilize Ethiopia, you destabilize the whole continent. That's the seat of government. That is our capital, politically. And so we see the continuation of this conflict and moving to a point where now, this is how you just have to use deductive reasoning. You have to have critical analysis. The Tigray People's Liberation Front, right, now say, hey, well, look, we're going to pull back out of Afar and Amhara region, you know, because we came in there, you can kill our people. So, yeah, we was like, hey, you know, we wasn't going to have that. But at this point, we're negotiating, we're going to pull back. So that should let you know that at some point someone saw that that needed to be reset. And if you think deductively and read the report in Al Jazeera and other investigative news organizations, that the United States, through reports from the Ethiopian military, were found to have been participating and delivering live arms to the TPLF, the Tigray People's Liberation Front. They're in the nation of Ethiopia. Get this straight and just understand it. All of this fighting is taking place. It is not like Eritrea and Ethiopia is fighting. This is a war between the Eritrean people that happen to still live in Ethiopia, in that region, next to Eritrea, and the Ethiopian government. This is, you can look and see clearly that this is nothing but another Western game of pitting one against the other and seeing the destabilization of a whole region. And we can't have that happening, particularly at this time, as South Africa is under attack, being blamed for the matriculation of this pandemic. And then now having the seat of government in Africa be destabilized. Here in Atlanta, where I am, we've been taking a very close look at this and connecting with those Eritrean and Ethiopian people's organizations that they have here in the city of Atlanta, which is very prolific. A lot of Eritrean and Somalian people live in this city. As a matter of fact, it's a whole like area of town called Foxton. You just roll through there, and, you know, they go to Somali restaurant, they go to Ethiopian restaurant, you know, they have that cultural unity and identity, even internationally. So you look at that and understand what is the purpose of the destabilization of that. The purpose of the destabilization of that is to destabilize the whole African world. Now that everybody has been drawn back into their homes and separated from everyone, quarantined, now you make your move on the continent. Great, great military genius, great thinking, you know, and then on top of it, right when you get ready to make your move, you say that Africa got a whole new virus that's coming out. It's taking over everything. It done went from 3% to 75% in 90 days. Green monkey stuff, you know. What else is meant, right? So we move around the continent because, as I said, it is the proliferation of conflict on the continent now is very prolific. You have to keep your eye on this. So, uncertainty as Libya's presidential election approaches. More than 2.5 million Libyan citizens are expected to vote in the presidential elections on December 24th, according to the roadmap set by the UN, sponsored by the Libyan Political Dialogue Forum. According to political analysts, the voting process in Libya will face significant challenges, they say. The political division that followed the technical preparations for Libya's presidential elections made it a challenging process, and that there could be a possibility of a postponement for the scheduled date of December 24th. So they're already trying to frame to postpone it, as they manipulated, of course. U.S. Special Envoy to Libya, Stephanie Williams, has met with rival political and military forces from eastern and western Libya in the port city of Sirte. On Thursday afternoon, hours after an Islamist militia group ended its siege of the interim government's headquarters in the capital, Tripoli. So you just happen to slide in, United States, right after this. I keep telling you, ISIS is United States. Period. When you understand that, then it makes sense. Like, why? Soon as ISIS stopped bombing, and then the United States come in because they tell niggas, look, okay, I'll hold up for a minute. We can come in and holler at us, see what they're going to do, right? So the Libyan parliamentary elections, originally planned to be held on the same day as the presidential poll, have already been postponed to January 2022. So the parliament elections, so they're going to just have the president elections, but put parliament stuff back and see who we're going to get in there. And we can get our guy in there because, understand, Saeed is running. Gaddafi's son is running. I'll keep you posted on the results of the Libyan election on next week's show, and we will see how Brother Saeed fared in those elections. But I want to move around, and a particular revolutionary organization that I have had the opportunity at times to interact with them, particularly at one time in Cuba, and that's where I learned about them. I was like, I don't know who Polisario is. What's the Polisario? It's kind of something from Europe, like Eastern European Russian thing or something. You know, the Polisario, the Polisario. I don't know, right? But the Polisario are an African revolutionary organization in the nation of Western Sahara. Western Sahara is a former Spanish colony. Right? You remember Spain got all this stuff to Earth, right? But it's over there by Spain, right? So Morocco and Western Sahara, Spain keep holding on to them two spots right there. It's a funny little place called Ceuta, too. That's like an enclave of Europe on the African continent. If you cross this fence, then you're in Europe. But you're still in Africa, right? So you get all the rights like in Europe. Let's bring it to you some other time. But in Western Sahara, these comrades have been fighting a pitched with in allegiance with African revolutionaries in West Africa, in allegiance with the government of Algeria that supported them against Morocco and other fundamentalist Arab nations. And so this is one of those very intricate nationalist inter-tribal relationships to understand when you start talking about the Berbers, the Tuareg, the Arabs, and the Native Africans, right? And so the at this time, the Morocco is preventing the name of this nation of people is the Sahrawi, spelled S-A-H-R-A-W-I-S, the Sahrawi. Morocco is preventing the Sahrawis from marking Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So check it out, New Africa. We're in that process. Also, declaring our human rights before the world, seeking our independence as a nation within a nation. This African nation is seeking to come from up under this colonial rule by Morocco, so that and using the Universal Declaration of Human Rights to do so, but it's being blocked by that, their former colonizers. Moroccan occupation forces have brutally prevented a group of Sahrawi from exerting their right to demonstrate peacefully and celebrate the International Day of Human Rights, perpetuating the crimes against humanity, as well as the military blockade and the media blackout imposed on the towns of occupied Western Sahara. So they shut off, cut off the lights on you, and then, you know, move on. And so that's what's happened in Western Sahara. And I understand that this is a largely desert nation, not very densely populated. And so very easily these revolutionary groups become isolated. Sahrawi activist and former political prisoner Mafouda Bamba Lafkir said in a testimony that she and a group of Sahrawi demonstrators were violently beaten and prevented from staging a peaceful demonstration commemorating the International Day of Human Rights. The demonstrators were calling for respect of human rights in the occupied towns and cities of Western Sahara and the lifting of the house arrest imposed on activist Sultana Kaya in the occupied town of Bourjour. So, she also stressed the Moroccan occupation police force used violence against her and other Sahrawi women in the location of the demonstration, and also against Sahrawi activists inside a place of worship. The Sahrawi activist said several demonstrators were injured, citing a Sahrawi woman, Metu Ali Salem, as the most seriously injured, as she was slapped, beaten, and dragged on the street in a brutal and barbaric manner. Mafouda Bamba Lafkir has called on the international community to take urgent action to prevent Western Sahara people and save to protect Western Sahara people and save them from the brutality of Moroccan occupation. The Sahrawi activists expressed her determination and that of the other Sahrawi demonstrators to continue their peaceful protest until the victorious return of all Sahrawi refugees to Western Sahara, their homeland. And so you see not only this anti-colonial struggle against Morocco that's taking the place of the former colonizer, Spain, against the interests of these, you got to understand, Morocco is the top of the continent, versus Sahara is around that western edge going down right there above Mali. And so you see the transition of the culture of the people from that Arab-dominated north down to the more traditional continental African nations there in Mali and Western Sahara being one of those transitional states across what they call the Sahel, which is that ribbon across northern Africa below the Sahara and before the temperate region down near the Gulf of Guinea. And so as we move across the continental map and looking at that area, once again, there in northwest Africa, where the Sahrawi people are struggling for liberation, now we take another review, as we have before, down into Mali. And remember, Mali has been going through a conflict there in regards to, once again, the ISIS forces. The United States, right, in the nation of Mali, and before the great library at Timbuktu had been attacked, the city of the ancient city, the ancient kingdom of Gao, had been bombed and straight by these forces. And so we're looking at the proliferation of this Arab nationalism as historically it has been, right? Nothing new. But in these modern terms, using these political colloquialisms, right? Arab Spring, you know, and all of this stuff is to renew political domination in these certain regions on the continent of Africa. Destabilization in Ethiopia, the proliferation of blaming of virus in South Africa, and of course, straight up military conflict in Western Africa. And so the United States, this article here, I just had to give you guys, because hey, I just laughed all the way through it, right? It's coming from the United States Department, right? United States Department of State. And, you know, usually these communists, you find on allafrica.com, they come from a newspaper, the United States want to get something out, they'll put it in the Washington Post, they put it in the New York Times, you know. But that is like, when you know when the State Department says, he's like, okay, what's happening here? Why y'all all along over here, right? So it says that, like, almost like a statement coming directly from them. We are alarmed by a potential deployment of Russia-backed Wagner Group forces in Mali. Are seeing the proliferation of this force. It's costing $10 million per month. Diverts money that could be used to support the Malian armed forces and public services to pay for the deployment of Yevgeny Prigozhin Wagner Group forces to Mali. Wagner forces, which are known for their destabilizing activities and human rights abuses, will not bring peace to Mali, but rather will destabilize the country further. Yevgeny Prigozhin is sanctioned by the United States, the United Kingdom, and the European Union in connection with his dealings with the Russian Federation Ministry of Defense and his efforts to subvert U.S. democratic processes. The Wagner Group, which is also sanctioned by the United States, has been implicated in abuses and actions that threaten the peace, security, stability, sovereignty, and territorial integrity of the Central African Republic. So, as you see here in Mali, so you have to ask yourself, right, why the United States is coming out like this, straight from their State Department, making a statement over this Wagner Group, right, that is obviously being employed by the country of Mali, which is a Russian outfit, right? So, once again, the rookies come in the guise of camaraderie, and we will keep an eye on that to see what will be the outcome of it, because I guess I don't trust nobody, right, but myself. So in Tunisia, they are, once again, in that northern African nation, the proliferation of violence, those comrades who had been in solidarity with the comrade Gaddafi there in that nation, still under attack. We've seen the overthrow of the government in Sudan by the military, first of all, mass demonstrations by the people. Then the overthrow of the government by the military there in Sudan, after already having been ousted Bashir, the former president of the nation of Sudan. So I'm saying all this to try to get you to look at the balance of power in Africa and how throughout each region, the United States military with AFRICOM and in conjunction with its imperialist comrades, France, England, and others, Germany, are keeping a stranglehold on Africa and are even tightening their hold now. Because as we are all in isolation, they can do more things openly. As you said, as I just stated in Western Sahara, they are cutting off all communication and then going in and carrying out these atrocities, as the sister from the Sahrawi community said in their statement. So, keeping there in Western Africa, of course, the nation of Nigeria, the most populous nation on the continent, and of course the seat of power among regional nations there in Western Africa, are carrying out military airstrikes over here in Lake Chad area. So we have, once again, we're looking at regional conflict, right? And the traditional African-centered government in Nigeria, the Christian Yoruba government there, in pitched battle against the Hausa northern community that are working in conjunction with ISIS, those Arab forces, Hausa being predominantly Muslim, and wreaking conflict in that nation, really like on an untold level. The kidnapping of the 200 Nigerian girls was just the tip of the iceberg in regards to what is going on in that nation, particularly in the northern region of it. So the Nigerian military are carrying out pointed aerial strikes in the Lake Chad area in Borno State there. Nigeria gathered that their Air Force, the component of the Operation Haden Kai, launched a series of attacks on Sunday at ISWAP Armory Base at Kasuna and Segir in Marte local government area of the state. The operation was conducted after intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance missions revealed the presence of several fighters who converged in the area in their preparatory move to launch strikes on troops in the Axis. An intelligence source told PR in Nigeria that the ATF scrambled Super Tucano aircraft in attacking the target area in multiple ways, which recorded direct hits on a weapon manufacturing facility, fuel dump, armory base, and an infrastructure filled with vehicles and motorcycles. Some terrorists fleeing the area were also intercepted and neutralized in follow-up attacks by the Nigerian troops. The week-long sustained air offensives have impacted on jihadist operational command and thwarted the group's plans to carry out major attacks on the military formations in the Axis. We are aware that some of the surviving and wounded terrorists who escaped are hiding under thick trees around Arena Soro and Arena Kike. So we see conflict there in neighboring nations. You see a cross-border strike from Nigeria into Chad against Islamist fighters. I guess the Nigerians going to try to beat you out your money, but they going to fight and try not to let no Islamists take over their country. You know, I guess there's some good in that. I'm being facetious. I love Nigeria, and I understand that the power seat, that population, the largest population of African people in the continent, is a pivotal military point that we as Africans outside of Africa have to deal with. We're going to have to deal with Nigeria. There's just no question about it. And they need help, particularly that Yoruba Christian South. And with the proliferation of the Ifa defamation system in the United States among new Africans, it should be an easy transition in regards to developing that relationship. So we think about that political, cultural relationship in the developing of the Pan-African connection and us building ourselves to a point where we can project the type of political power that we need to from here to the continent and establish ourselves there and still deal with and work with our people who still are here in Babylon. Like Michael said, hey, the best thing is to go home. But until then, we got to eat. We got our children got to be educated, and we need somewhere to live, right? Just we should keep that in mind. So moving down to Southern Africa, as I have been reporting in my African news reports here, of the insurgent war in Mozambique. In Mozambique, once again, as I said before, for years, the United States Fifth Fleet has been parked over in the Mozambique Strait between Mozambique and Madagascar, saying they own some research something or something, just making up stuff, right? They'll move up into the Persian Gulf and the Horn area in the Red Sea and all that, and then they'll come right on back down in the Mozambique Strait. Been doing it for some years. The Fourth Fleet up in the Gulf of Guinea, over there, by Nigeria, Equatorial Guinea, right? Fifth Fleet down here, Mozambique Strait. So now, all of a sudden, how some Arabs get all the way down to Mozambique, man? Their folks don't be down there. That stuff stop up there in Pemba, up in Kenya, Mombasa, and all that up there. I've been there. Like, them indigenous people and Christian people. How you get an insurgency of Muslims in the country of Mozambique? And it just so happened to break out at the time where the United States fleet is parked off the coast. Right? Simple enough. But the president there has made a statement. The president says Mozambique war is about the insurgent greed. President Nussi has blamed the ongoing conflict in the country on the greed of militants in a recent address. According to Mozambique news reports and clippings, he rejected out-of-hand research and reports showing the importance of the grievances linked to growing poverty and inequality, despite this being well-documented by a number of organizations. Check them out now. This while Carta de Mozambique reports that the military is building profiles of figures who disturb the ruling system, building investigative journalists, including investigative journalists, political opponents, social activists, and academics. Recently, military cadres have had training on monitoring and the use of a security system called Celebrity, which allows them to track and listen to calls, read messages on mobile phones and other electronic devices remotely. This comes amid reports of the conflict spreading to other regions of the country, and Human Rights Watch saying that women and children have been abducted and sold by insurgents. So, just think about it, right? Now, they're moving into Southern Africa, these insurgents, and as they have always done, involved in the kidnapping and trading of our people. Now, further into Mozambique, you know, insurgents linked to the Islamic State have staged attacks since October 2017 in Cabo Delgado, a coastal province rich in natural gas reserves and host to an estimated $60 billion worth of international investment in gas projects. The violence has left at least 3,100 dead, according to armed conflict location and event data, which tracks political violence around much of the world. Attacks in Niassa, the province directly to Cabo Delgado's west, have been reported since at least mid-November, according to this organization. The insurgency is connected to the Islamic State, but the nature of that connection is a little bit unclear, quote-unquote, said Ratner. He said insurgents identify as an Islamist group whose core grievances are really about the lack of control that local people have over their lives. The insurgents proposed wrestling local control from the central government in Maputo and instead having an Islamic form of self-government in the North. So we see this carving out in the nation of Mozambique, this threatening of carving out there in Mozambique, there in the North, an Islamic state. Once again, the West, using its proxy forces there in Southern Africa, are now carrying out armed operations where they're actually at the point of, but don't forget that the Southern African Development Community is carrying out armed operations against these insurgents also. And they have even included the nation of Rwanda in it, and Kagame and his forces, because he understands the urgency of not allowing the Western forces to get that type of military foothold in Africa. And, of course, they all understand that these proxy forces are all working at the behest of the United States government. And so they have come together in a Southern African Development Community operation, whereby which the combination of the militaries of Zimbabwe and Mozambique and South Africa and Botswana and Zambia, all the boys got together and was like, nah, we ain't going to let y'all jump on Mozambique like that. We know tomorrow Michelle Spirit jumping out of the grave like, man, y'all better do something, you know. And so everybody got together and went on ahead and at least kept it stabilized. What it did, they couldn't overrun. And so there are still pitched battles being fought over this territory there in the north of Mozambique. And so for those who do not know, the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has contracted the coronavirus. And so, as I was stating earlier, you look at Western imperialism, the diplomatic approach to the destruction of nations, the elimination of leaders, and the shaming of a nation, right, as they have done by trying to blame South Africa for this new variant of the coronavirus, right? And so the president, as the cases are rising there in South Africa, has been confirmed that to be positive for COVID-19. The president, who is fully vaccinated, is in self-isolation in Cape Town and has delegated all responsibility to Deputy President David Mabuza for the next week. This comes as the nation faces a fourth wave of infection led by the Omicron variant, which studies have found to be more transmissible, though less severe compared to the Delta strain, as I said before. As of December 13, 2021, a total of 3,167,497 COVID-19 cases have been confirmed in the country, of which 90,137 proved fatal. Wow. Whoa, let me read that again. As of December 13th, 2021, a total of 3,167,497 COVID-19 cases have been confirmed in the country, of which 90,137 proved fatal and 2,913,232 resulted in recovery. Vaccinations administered to date total 18,344,024. So we see a transfer of power to the vice president there in South Africa, President Cyril Ramaphosa, having to transmit that power to Vice President or Deputy President David Mabuza, at least for the next week there in South Africa. So as I'm saying, keep an eye on these affairs, keep an eye on what is happening in regards to the leadership in these African nations and how the manipulation of the imperialist forces of these leaders can leave Africa at in a position where they are vulnerable, particularly now in this isolated period of time. War in Ethiopia, conflict across the north in the Sahel, the resulting of the elimination of Brother Gaddafi and the fight back of those people there in Sirte and in Tripoli, the triumphant forces in Yemen, them brothers fighting in Yemen. I'm talking about it's going down over there. They have to pull out everything they got to deal with them brothers and sisters over there, because the Houthis are not playing any games with these people. None at all. Yemen is the hot war. And, of course, the comrades are coming and are helping with the comrades in Yemen from Iran and, of course, from Syria. You have, now that Syria is becoming somewhat stabilized, you ain't hearing about Iran so much in the news. They got the extra resources to ship down there and keep Yemen held up and while it undergoes this great attack from particularly Saudi Arabia, which sits to the north of that nation and, as of course, as we know, is a great ally of the United States, even though the majority of people that they said built their building, which they really didn't, and they did it themselves, supposedly came from Saudi Arabia. Oh, man, this stuff gets confusing. Who can figure this stuff out? Right? That's why you have to come to, that's why you have to come and check in with your combat reporters, Brother Tutmos and Carl. So we can straighten out these issues so that we can get our political affairs in order. Speaking of getting our political affairs in order, there was a great comrade and now ancestor by the name of Marcus Garvey. He said that, where's the black man's men of big affairs? Where's the black man's government? We ain't got one, I'm going to make it. That's the attitude that we should all take, particularly as Africans, new Africans from the West, endowed with the spark of consciousness, endowed with the experience of organizational work and focus to see the fight through to the end, as Marcus did. And I had the great honor of receiving today in the mail a book that I had a copy of before, but it was so frayed and stuff that I was almost afraid to read it. I just look at it and appreciate it. Called Marcus Garvey and the Vision of Africa. And there's this, to me, as I mentioned sometimes, you'll hear me say, there are these cardinal points of struggle, right, where you come to the realization of certain things that make things crystallize in your mind. It could be different things for different people, right? But for me, being a Malcolmite, as I am, and wanting to know every aspect of knowledge in regards to him, and then coming from the South and appreciating, although understanding the historical nature and the irresponsible actions of the nation in regards to Brother Malcolm, still appreciate Elijah Muhammad for the knowledge that he brought to us. And it made it crystallize in my mind that I could appreciate that, because the knowledge that Elijah was given came from who else but, once again, the Honorable Martha's Garden. And although it came from an Islamic bent, the same nationalism, all you read what Muslims want and what the Muslims believe in, you're almost reading the aims and objectives of Marcus Mugabe. And then you also read the 10-point program of Black Panther Party, right? So the point where it crystallized for me in this book, and when I ordered the new Virgin Family, the original one always had the commentary. This is Marcus Garvey and the Vision of Africa, edited and with an introduction and commentaries by John Henry Clark, with the assistance of Amy Garvey. And then this new one, oh my God, has the introduction by Renoko Rashidi, our ancestor who just left us, right? I just ordered a book, just came in today. It's a new introduction by Renoko. Like, my ancestors are just surrounding me. Now it's like permeating through my pores. They're just reaching out to me through every venue that they can. It pushes you towards doing what it is a responsible African revolutionary should do. And so in this book, what made it crystallize for me, on page 372, Mama Amy Jock gives us this. She says, let us trace the source and course of black power to determine its effectiveness as a weapon of defense of a black minority. I propose to do so by submitting questions sent to me by a student of research on the work of Marcus Garvey. I added other questions and the answers so as to round out my subject. Here they are. Is there any connection between Marcus Garvey's teachings and the philosophy of Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X? Have Garvey's teachings been corrupted? Wow, big question, right? This question can partially be answered by my quoting from a letter written by Mr. Thomas Harvey, President General of the UNIA, to the Jamaica Gleaner, November 17, 1964, in which he states, please allow me space to express my thanks to your government for inviting us down from America to attend the ceremony in connection with the reinterment of Marcus Garvey in George VI Park. I think I am in a position to speak on behalf of Negroes in America and Canada and to affirm my belief in the sincerity and courage of Marcus Garvey as the only international Negro leader at the close of this century. He paved the way for local leaders who have emerged since his death. Most of them were his understudies or followers who were inspired by his dynamic leadership and the universality of his appeal for justice, equality, and independence for the Negro people throughout the world. For instance, Elijah Muhammad was formerly a corporal in the uniform rank of the Chicago Division. Malcolm X's father was the vice president of the Detroit Division. So Malcolm X grew up under the influence of Garveyism. Ms. M.L. Gordon of the Peace Movement of Ethiopia was formerly an active member of the organization in Chicago. The Ethiopian Federation is also an offshoot of Garveyism. Wow, isn't that incredible? We never know. Malcolm said, history is the subject that best suited to reward one's research. I know what you meant, Malcolm. It meant a quickening of the spirit. It meant a movement in the direction of the destiny of your ancestor. I say. And I say to the spirit of Marcus Garvey, I want to say to the spirit of Russell Maroon Schultz, who left us this week after being incarcerated for 50 years, coming home to us, and under a stage 4 cancer condition, which was proliferated upon him by the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. They murdered him and then handed him to us just to watch the last bits of his spirit fritter away in front of us. And so I say salute to the spirit of Russell Maroon Shorts, the runaway, the Maroon. Salute to you, comrade ancestor. We'll keep your lessons and teaching in our hearts and minds and spirits. This has been your combat reporter, Brother Tedno Sankar, here on New Black Panther Party Radio. And remember, as always, African people, stay vigilant. Stay tuned for further commentary and interaction with the community. Conrad Craig.
Black power. One second. We about to get him
black
on,
power.
Brother Tedmos, first of all, you know, I was feeling a little under the weather, which I still am, but you gave so much information, and I just wanted to give you a shout-out, man. You really covered a full gamut. I have been receiving comments and messages from comrades around the world that say they appreciate the information that you're bringing. Is there are too few outlets that are really going to break it down the way you have been doing, and I just wanted to shout out and tell you that. But I'm getting ready to file back, and I just opened up Brother Greg's
okay.
mic. I was off beat just a second when I got back on beat. Black Power. There you go, Brother Greg. What baby girl?
What
about
Cool Fat?
Black power.
Yeah.
There she go.
I love it.
Black power.
That is just beautiful.
Awesome.
Wait a minute, where did they go? Oh, there they go. Oh, shit, this switchboard on fire. Okay. I got a real quick, I got a caller out of, look like Houston, 832 area code.
Okay.
832, your mic is open. What's your name? Question and a comment.
Black Power, this is your brother, Emmanuel, just speaking to the brothers and sisters.
Black Power, brother. Emmanuel. Black Power, buddy, man, you have the floor, King.
Oh no, I was just speaking to everyone and just letting everybody know I'm always here, and I'm loving what the brother was bringing earlier, and I'm just in agreement with the spirit of everybody that's listening tonight, and I hope we can continue to get edified as we have been doing. Black Power.
I appreciate you, brother. Black Power.
Black Power, buddy, man. Give me a call after this, brother man. You Black Power. All right, brother Greg. Brother Greg, your mic is open, and I'm going on mute for real.
Oh, Black Power, another
power,
great
brother.
Show. I know that switchboard is lit up. I just want to say I hope a lot more people hit that number one button. You know, this is again Tuesdays. Thursdays, I mean, we get so much information, you know, coming down the pipeline from the motherland, you know, that, you know, I know a lot of people are, you know, curious to know, you know, more and more information of what's going over, you know, in the motherland. And bro, you always do a great job, you know, breaking everything down, bringing this information. And I know it takes, you know, time, you know, research, and just being on top of things. And, you know, that's great. And that's greatly appreciated. So, you know, that's why I always encourage people, hit that number one button. You know, we get this information, and a lot of the information, you know, I won't even say a lot of it. You pretty much won't get this. You definitely won't get this on your regular broadcast, you know, news shows and so forth. You know, and even in regards to, you know, social media, you know, you're not going to get this information.
No.
So to be able to have a plug into what's going on, you know, over in the motherland on a regular basis, you know, this switchboard should be just, I mean, ready to explode with people hitting, you know, number one.
Right.
You know, but.
You know, And Greg, what we've got to do is, my brother, is find ways to engage the community. Find ways to get them to engage with us. Kwame Ture said that it is the job of the conscious to avert the unconscious to conscious. That is the job of a revolutionary. You know how it is. I know you understand because you're an information brother too. You know, a lot of times people get caught up in the propaganda of the enemy and get disheartened and lose their consciousness. You know what I mean? I know you've seen it as well as I have. And so it is our job to bring the victorious message of African liberation to our people and put it in a way that informs them of what is happening. But you'll notice how I try to balance out the report, right? I'll say, okay, we're getting attacked and getting our butt kicked over here. But down here in Mozambique, the brothers done got together. They kicking ass. You know what I mean? So I try to balance it out to you too so it doesn't become a gloom and doom report and you just get tune in to Brother Tutmosis some card and get your heart broke about what's happening to our people in Africa. You know, I don't want to turn it into a pity show because it doesn't have to be that because African people all over the world are fighting. And so I just take it as my duty to proliferate that information from a perspective that give us a well-rounded view of actually where we are in the world in the point in December 21st, 2021 in the African World Revolution. That's my job.
Absolutely. It's definitely easy for, you know, like you just said, it's definitely easy for a lot of people to get discouraged and heartbroken because of, you know, a lot of the news and things that are just put out there in the media, and that's their purpose. You know, I mean, we have to accept that for what it is. It's just like, yep, you know, the system. You can't get mad at the system because the system is doing, you know, what it's designed to do. So when we have all these news broadcasts, local news channels and so forth, you know, they know what they're doing. You know, we know that, you know, he who controls the media controls the masses. And, you know, at times, yeah, we do need to get hit with a dose of reality of what's going on. But at the same time, you know, that whatever that, you know, negative or, you know, depressing, you know, part of reality that's going on, that's not all that's going on. So, yeah, I really appreciate how you definitely, you know, balance everything out because, you know, the media, you know, they do such a great job at, you know, depressing us. You know,
right,
from the time, you know, most of us wake up, and for those who, you know, pop on the news first thing in the morning, it's usually something depressing. Front page of the newspapers, it's 99% something tragic that's happening. So, you know, to get the information that you're bringing, again, you know, it's something that, you know, a lot of listeners, and I know we got a lot of listeners, you know, definitely need to, you know, plug in and working on, you know, waking up the unconscious. I mean, this is an excellent way here. I mean, your show every Tuesday, you know, that information
Absolutely.
Is there. It gives the listeners an opportunity, you know, to hit that number one, ask questions, you know, get more, you know, information, and it also, you know, can push them to get more involved, you know, in what's going on.
Right.
I know that someone out there who's listening has some information. They have something that they can share, and it can be something that's so incredibly motivating and uplifting that they don't realize the impact that they can have on someone who's listening in, you know. So,
yep,
you know, hit that number one button, you know, definitely hit it. You know, it's
right.
Great. I mean, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursdays, I'll set shows. you know.
Thursday, man, I love your shows, bro. I tune in your shows every week, man.
People need to circle. I mean, they need to circle, you know, those days because
that's
they
brother
know.
Eugene.
That's
Brother
Eugene
on Thursday, Brother Thursday.
Oh, that's Brother Eugene on Thursday.
Yes, Eugene on Thursday.
Yeah.
But people need to. Yeah,
Brother Eugene be dropping, man. Brother Eugene, solid.
Listen, we, you know, Eugene and I, we, you know, we chat, we send messages, you know, throughout, you know, every opportunity we get. And, you know, that brother is always bringing, you know, something and always have some great, great information.
Right.
And not just on Thursdays, but, you know, if you have the chance to really chat with him, you know, any other time, he's the same way. So it's like
I'm definitely going to do that. So it's the course to put me in contact.
Yeah, it's like what you get on Thursdays is what you can get any other day of the week, you know, from him. You know, I would drop Eugene questions in regards to, you know, what's going over in the motherland, what's going on with his businesses here, you know, and it's like 24/7, 365 is what you're going to get, the same every single day, every opportunity you talk to him. So we have, you know, some great shows, some great lineups. And for those of you who are listening, you know, circle those dates, you know, on your calendar because you know you're going to get something, you know, good coming. You know it.
Speaking of that, we have a very Brother Greg is going to start hosting Friday night. And he's going to kick it off on January the 7th. So tell him about the January the 7th, what you're planning and who you're bringing on, Black Power.
January 7th, you know, that's going to be it's something that's been in the work and in the making behind – when I say behind the scenes, it's I say that to describe it this way. Going back, you know, some years ago, you know, back 2008, when I took my first trip to Brazil, and I had to go where we were, even though us as a people all over Brazil. But when we think of, you know, Brazil, that northern region, Salvador Bahia, for those who know, you know, they know that's where, you know, we're at when we talk about, you know, the movements and so forth. But on January 7th, I got a brother, his name is Adal. He is one of the original members of a Black Power movement organization called MNU, Movement for the Negro, basically translated Movement for Black Unification, that started in 1978. And he's been, you know, out on the forefront, you know, since then. And through some individuals, friends of mine that I know, you know, really, you know, connected the dots. You know, when I mentioned to them that, you know what, listen, we've been talking for, you know, a good number of years of how we need to bridge these gaps, not just between us here and in Brazil, but continually through the motherland. But we need to bridge these gaps and connect these dots because we have a lot of powerful, powerful things that are done across the globe that many of us don't get to really hear and experience, just like you bring this great information, you know, on Tuesdays. Now, because of the language barrier, I think that also played a major, major role
in
connecting those dots. But, you know,
we got the technology.
Oh, yeah. So on January 7th, you know, he's going to be on the show, and I have a good friend of mine who's actually he's from Brazil, but he lives in Austin, Texas, and he's working on his PhD in Latin American African, you know, studies. And he and I built a great, great friendship over the past year where I would pick his brain on, you know, trying to get information on just how the two governments made it a top priority to make sure that our Black Power movement throughout the 60s and 70s did not unite with their Black Power movement, you know, in Brazil. So he's done some extensive research. He's gone through to the extent of, you know, pulling out files that had been, you know, the government would seal, but now they're unsealed, and he would bring out all sorts of information on just how the governments were, you know, working together. So he's going to, his name is Marcelo. He's going to be on, you know, along with us, definitely to help, you know, some translating and interpreting, you know, that's necessary. But, you know, once the word went out the other day in Brazil, I could tell you, it spread like wildfire. It spread like wildfire. And so many people are looking forward to it. So on the 7th, it's going to be a great show, you know, and we're making sure that we got every, you know, base covered, where those who will be listening in Brazil will definitely have someone who could, you know, translate, interpret, you know, what's needed. And for everyone here, you know, it's going to be a great, great opportunity to get some good, you know, not just insight, but some encouragement to know that the same challenges that we face, I mean, with the police brutality shooting us down in the streets, that goes on there day and night. You know, go back to the 70s where just how a lot of the movements or a lot of the protests began with, you know, us being, you know, beaten in the streets, arrested unjustly, same thing. I mean, you can put both movements in the perpendicular line side by side and just check off pretty much everything that's the same, similar or the same. What we go through today, they go through as well. And I definitely got to say that they have been pushing for reparations in Brazil just as hard as we've been pushing it for here. So just imagine, you know, connecting all of these dots, you know, just how the momentum can definitely, definitely pick up. So it's going to be a great, great, great show on the 7th. Definitely looking forward to it,
brother.
It's definitely going to be a great show.
So what I want to do real quick, Greg, kind of as to prompt our audience more in regards to this information on the United States military on the continent of Africa. So just try to bring it just in, just kind of summarize it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
After 9/11, and this is something I wrote a while back. After 9/11, the United States military moved into three major regions in significant ways. South Asia, of course, primarily Afghanistan, the Middle East, and the Horn of Africa. The United States is drawing down in Afghanistan and has left Iraq. Africa, however, remains a growth opportunity for the Pentagon. The United States is now involved directly and by proxy in military and surveillance operations against an expanding list of regional enemies. They include, of course, in Nigeria, those groups that they claim to be against, in Al-Qaeda, the Al-Qaeda groups, and of course, the post-Qaddafi militant groups who have grown up around the movement of Brother Saif Qaddafi, the son of Muammar Qaddafi. And, of course, an investigation has revealed that the contractor-operated surveillance aircraft based out of Entebbe, Uganda, are scouring the military, and, of course, they're used by the military in Uganda. Understand, Uganda, Rwanda and Burundi, these countries in Central Africa, have been involved in the proliferation of the conflict in the Congo in conjunction with the United States military. Just understand that. So, at the Pentagon's behest, that what they're doing in Central Africa, right, there are 100 to 200 U.S. commandos share a base with Kenyan military at Manda Bay. Additionally, U.S. drones are being flown out of Arba Minch Airport in Ethiopia and from the Seychelles Islands in the Indian Ocean, while drones and F-15 fighter bombers have been operating out of Camp Lemonnier as part of the shadow wars being waged by the United States military and the CIA in Yemen and Somalia. Surveillance planes used for spy missions over Mali, as I just spoke about in the report, Mauritania, and the Sahara Desert also flying missions from Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. And plans are reportedly in the works for a similar base in the newborn nation of South Sudan. U.S. Special Operations Forces are stationed in a string of even more shadowy forward operating bases on the continent, including one in Jemena in Central African Republic and others in Zara in South Sudan and Dungu in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The United States also has had troops deployed in Mali, despite having officially suspended military relations with that country following a coup. In addition, according to research, the U.S. Navy has a forward operating location manned mostly by CBs, civil affairs personnel, and force protection troops, known as Camp Gilbert in Dire Dawa, Ethiopia. So, as I was reporting earlier in my report, you see, as I'm reporting here now, the proliferation of United States bases on the continent. And as I just said, that this last base in Dire Dawa, Ethiopia, this is the base, as I was stating in my earlier report, where the United States military is deploying their SEAL team to take part in so-called humanitarian food convoys with aid agencies, but they are embedded within these aid agencies. And when they're embedded in these aid agencies, they manipulate and supply and traffic arms back and forth. And that is what is happening in Ethiopia. And that is the reason for that war there now, where 400,000 people are on the brink of starvation. If you remember from history, from 1974 or so, Ethiopia was pushed to this brink at that particular time also in history. And it was at a point of transition of government, at a point where the socialist government took over in Ethiopia, the dirge from traditional historical government that was led by Haile Selassie. And as it moved into this new phase of governmental structure, the socialist government led by the dirge, it came under attack from Western forces. And the people were at that time, once again, pushed to the brink of famine that is happening right now. And so the continent of Africa and the nation of Ethiopia could use the political analysis of the African in the West, and they could also use the support of the revolutionary organization of New Africa to let them understand that we know that the United States government is behind the proliferation of war in their nation. That is a task for New Africa. That is something that we can do. That is tangible. That is something that puts us under the definition of a nation as we relate to other African nations in diplomacy and in solidarity of struggle. That is the ability of the Africans in the United States, if we are thinking in that manner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you start off mentioning Nigeria, I mean, the U.S. military has been there because of, you know, the resources. And as always, and with many other places, they try to paint a picture of one thing and then try to hide their true agenda, you know, underneath it. Yeah, I mean, they've been after the resources, the oil there, you know, for God knows how long, as well as so many other places. It's just so interesting that now all of a sudden Al Qaeda is all over the motherland.
Right.
You know, it's amazing. So now they want to paint this picture that they all migrated westward and traveled all down through South America, all around, you know, the eastern sea, you know, coast of Africa, up through Nigeria and so forth. It's just always utterly amazing of just how they will plant these, you know, bits and pieces of seeds in this propaganda. And now what are we going to hear next? The whole entire continent is just Al Qaeda. What are they going to do? They're going to say that next, just to give them a full, all out, you know, reason to go in and just invade. You know, they have their agenda. Absolutely. They have their agenda. You know, they just want to try their best to continue to pull the wool over people's eyes and making them believe, you know, what's going on. Just like last week, we had a brother, his name was on the tip of my tongue, who was over in Ethiopia, you know, just sharing about his experience being on the ground and seeing exactly what's going on and saying, hey that's
Tut.
Yeah, really, yeah. And it's like, and it's like, look at this. I mean, we got so many eyes that are on the ground, you know, that can be feeding so much true information, and we just got to take that and we got to run with it, and we got to push just as hard as they do with putting out their propaganda. You know, we got to fight extra hard to bring that truth, you know, to the forefront, because at this point, personally, and this is just me personally, a lot of people should not be so easily fooled and bamboozled, you know, with the nonsense. You know, I mean, enough is enough for a lot of people just to be, I mean, just so, so led down the wrong path and just easily believing every single damn thing that's put out there and not putting any effort into trying to find out on your own. And that's why I say, again, shows like tonight, Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays, when we get that information that's put out there from brothers like you and others who are actually putting in the work, spending time, effort, putting in the research to bring this information, at this point, a lot of people just need to slap the damn selves and just believe in every damn thing that's just thrown out there. So easily persuaded. I mean, nowadays I won't even say I can understand it, but if I just use a comparison going back to the late 80s when we didn't have all of this social media stuff, we didn't have all of this stuff. So I can say, okay, all right, we definitely got to push damn hard to fight against this mess. But with social media, when you can get on and you can get friends requests, you can send out friend requests, you can touch bases with people in live time, real time, across the globe. At some point, you know, enough is enough, you know. And for those who are, you know, listening or whatever, if you've been lazy about it, hey, just change and do something about it, because you get this information. And don't just take it and just, you know, let it sit, but actually put some effort and hit that damn number one button. Ask some questions. I'm pretty sure people got questions you know, wanting to know what's going on, want some extra information, you know, from you, brother, from, you know, Thursday night shows. You know, this is not, I mean, it's not,
Brother Greg sound like somebody's daddy about to whoop their ass. they hit the number one play.
He like push the damn button, you know?
Yeah, push the damn button.
Did I tell you to push that button, goddammit?
You look, seat. I mean, listen, they don't hit all of those numbers to dial in. Just hit one more. That's all it is. Just hit one more, the number one.
That's Brother Greg playing pee right there. He's like, yeah, yeah. That brother can drop too much knowledge now. You know what I'm saying? I got motivated.
Don't be scared.
Yeah, that's right, too. I mean, look, hey, you just, yeah. it's only a button, you know, and hey, again, you know, greatly appreciate, you know, shows like, you know, tonight, Black Power.
Black Power.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. You know, I do notice that when a lot of times, you know, people just, you know, want to listen and check things out, and you dropping some heavy information, you know, and people want to, you know, research or whatever, but like the brother say, no excuse, get in there. Especially, you know, he makes the point because we have a lot of new members that are tuning in. I'm talking about new members to the New Black Panther Party that are tuning in, and a lot of new listeners. And what our dear brother is trying to get you to understand that this is the people's radio. You know what I'm saying? So we love to hear from you. But without further ado, we're going to keep it going, though. You know what I'm saying? Temos, I want to ask you something back to what you were talking about, what was going on in that region around North Africa, in Tunisia. So how is this Tunisian, the conflict that's going on in Tunisia is still a carryover from Libya, from when Brother Gaddafi was assassinated. Is that correct? And how is it, are you aware of how the conflict in Tunisia, will it affect or have any impact on what's going on with the elections coming up in Libya? And
if you look at the map of Africa and you look at the city of Sirte, right? So on one side you have, well, kind of in the middle, you have the capital, Tripoli, but on the far western northern coast, you have Sirte. And the next country on that far western coast is Tunisia. So what you got going on is Gaddafi's people, the tribe, you know, African people, they don't have no respect for these borders. You know, part of my family live on this side of the border, part of my family live on that side of the border. So Gaddafi's people are on both sides. But what is happening is this. Because Saif, Gaddafi's son, is running for president, all of the tribe is participating in the proliferation of this comrade to power in honor of the loss of his father. And so when you look at Tunisia and what is happening, it is because of the fact that the comrades in Tunisia who are of the same tribe from Gaddafi are pressing the Tunisian government at the same time while Gaddafi's son is running for president in Libya. So that's how they got it going down over there, right?
Which leads to my next question.
Okay. No, you go ahead.
Well, my next question was, and you might be that might be what you're getting ready to say, is it because it is looking like without a shadow of a doubt that Saeed is going to win? Is it why they so-called claiming it's election issues?
Right. So, and what is going on in the middle of it also is the fact that Gaddafi's son, right, despite facing two counts of crimes against humanity, murder and persecution at the International Criminal Court, allegedly committed in 2011 and in Libya. Saif al-Islam Gaddafi, of course, the son, and you know, Gaddafi, Saif was on the run for a while. He got away. He was the child who escaped. They killed everyone. They killed everybody. They killed the Amazon guard, the women who were guarding Gaddafi. They killed everybody. And Saif got away. It's a victorious African revolutionary struggle, the return of Saif Gaddafi to power in honor of his father. It is a victorious African revolutionary story, the return of the spirit and the seed of Gaddafi to power in the image of his son, Saif al-Islam Gaddafi. And the fact that he got away, it stung the United States, right? So what they did was they charged him with crimes against humanity. Like, damn, he got away. What we can do? Let's charge him with a crime. And then we catch him, we kill him, we hold him there, right? But what happened was the people of Tunisia and Libya said, okay, all right, we see the bungled job the United States did. Hell, they got their own damn ambassador killed, right? At the hands of these same Islamists that their army, right? So the people understood that, okay, what we're under now is way worse than what, man, we had it made before. So, shit, we got to try to kind of straighten this up. How do we straighten it up? Well, since the son got away, why don't we support him? And it's been a war, it's been a fight. So this is what happened, right? It came to a court case. So the judicial branch of the Libyan government in the southern province of Sabah finally ruled in favor of Saif Gaddafi, having failed to convene for almost a week after the building was surrounded by armed men who stopped judges from entering, right? So they couldn't vote. The judges couldn't go in there. The men wouldn't kill them. They just surrounded it. But then when they went in there, the High National Elections Commission determined that Saif Gaddafi was eligible to run. In 2015, a domestic Libyan court found him guilty and sentenced him to death in absentia for war crimes he committed during the violent uprising against his father. His candidacy follows 6 years of being held by tribal militias and his defiance of an ICC arrest warrant. So Saif has been standing up in the paint. You know, he went down south. They said he was held by tribal militias. He wasn't being held by tribal militias. The tribal militias was holding him down. That's why you couldn't kill him. So the Tuaregs and them held it down, and then he made it through the storm, and then the court had to allow him to become a viable candidate again. And so now he is prepared to run under the banner that he wants to restore Libya's quote-unquote lost unity. Huh. The son of Muammar Gaddafi, of course, had been barred from elections previously, but the election commission once again ruled that he may now stand as a candidate. And so Gaddafi tweeted late on Thursday, I thought that, Thursday night, Friday morning, thanking those judges for risking their personal safety. And he said that they had done so in the name of truth. And so victory in Libya. Victory. Long live Gaddafi.
Long live Gaddafi.
Long live the spirit of Gaddafi. In the name and support and honor and respect to his son Saif after surviving the genocide of his family and the takeover of his nation by United States proxy forces. And herald to him and his victorious return to power, and as it is looking, he is definitely going to be returned to power, barring another military intervention.
Right on. Now, the next question I have, Black Power, long live Fidel Gaddafi in Libya. And just to remind the people, the new Black Panther Party, we are no doubt were allies with the people of Libya, in particular with Brother Muammar Gaddafi, may his spirit rest in peace. He, him and his alliances and forces were very instrumental in assisting us with getting the supplies to Haiti when the earthquake hit in 2010. In fact, it was the alliance with Libya and Zimbabwe, as well as Cuba, that was Cuba sent in the Doctors Without Borders, as well as Libya sent in doctors to assist the people in Haiti. And this is when we were doing our second major initiative for the MBPP Black Cross. It was the assistance of the brothers and sisters from Libya that helped us to get those containers down to Haiti. And then when shortly after that, the United Nations pumped feces into the water in Haiti, causing a cholera outbreak. And once right. again, we called on the Black Cross, and we sent an 18-wheeler-sized container of water. It was over 22 pallets down to Haiti. And it was the humanitarian efforts of, yet again, Brother Gaddafi and Robert Mugabe that and the Castro that helped us to get that supply down to Haiti. So the Libya of then, you know, we were, you know, so enamored by the fact that Gaddafi had the natural resources of that country nationalized. So the people, instead of paying taxes, received $3,000 a month checks. Education was free, and everyone received not only a high school diploma, but everyone received a medical degree in Libya. It's just like going to high school. People were given yep. free housing as a right. So these are the reasons why the United States attacked a nation that had no issues, the United States and NATO. So we must expose the contradiction. So, of course, the people would want Saeed to come back. And the way go ahead, brother.
I want to say something too. I want to say something too, in regard to it. As a lesson to revolutionaries, you know, Gaddafi had survived since 69. He had been attacked before. His daughter was killed in a bombing in 86. At the point where, because Islam was under attack across the globe, he capitulated his revolutionary nationalist stance. Understand me. Seeking to keep the safety and sovereignty of his people intact. Seeing that, okay, I can see the ball already dropping. They ain't going to try to link me into this shit with Al-Qaeda and stuff. So I'm going to just go ahead on and say, hey, look, y'all, come on in here. Look at what you want to look at. See, I ain't got nothing. And then leave me alone. Right? That's what he was thinking. Right? You know what they did? They said, okay, all right. Damn, I didn't even know you had that over there. Thank you for showing me. I didn't know you had that over there either. Thank you for showing me. And then they came back 10 years later and bombed it all.
Find Obama.
The same places that they had been inspecting under the guise of the UN with the United States implanted within them, they came back and those were the same strategic positions where they took out the installations that were the most secret of Gaddafi's, which brought about his downfall. So as a military lesson, keep your stance. Even when the tide seems to be going against you, do not capitulate or give up your revolutionary principles. Stay on your ground. Mm-hmm. That's the lesson from Gaddafi.
Which reminds me of one thing I want to also ask you to build upon. And mind you, Brother Greg, your mic is still open if you want to jump in here. And again, as Brother Greg was saying, you know, the mic is still open for anyone who else wants to make a comment, press 1. Also, it looks like our brother Emmanuel mic is still open. If he decides to chop me. I didn't know to shut his mic down. But also, I wanted to raise. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Y'all talked about one of my idols. Who was on my list of people I've always wanted to meet, but unfortunately, you know, thanks to Obama and his administration, you know, I won't ever get to meet, you know, Gaddafi, Muammar Gaddafi. But hopefully, I can meet his son. But speaking about him so much, I'm gonna pop open his book, The Green Book. I'm gonna pop that open tonight.
Oh my goodness!
I'm gonna open that up tonight. You know, for those listeners who don't know, you know, The Green Book, you know, Muammar Gaddafi. And actually you can actually download the entire book on PDF. It's not a big book. I mean, it's not a big book. I'll say it's an easy read because it's not large, but I definitely won't say that it's a quick read. I'll never say that about any book. You know, read it more than once, you know, as well as any other book. You're always going to learn something, but being that it doesn't have a lot of chapters in it, you know, y'all listening, you know, The Green Book, Mark Gaddafi, Black Power.
Black Power. And sister, I remember a time Sister Clifton was out there in the street just passing out Green Books.
Like the Red Book. But, We were honored to receive the Green Book, yes, sir. And I wanted to ask Greg, is it still Mathaba.net where people can get a copy of the PDF? I'm gonna check right quick. I seem to remember
actually,
it just came to my mind. If you know another site, let me know. But I'm gonna double check that Mathaba ABA.net still is up.
If you go to Google and you type in Gaddafi Green Book PDF, one of them is openanthropology.org. It's like the second one that popped up.
I get a lot of stuff from there.
Yeah, you can once you tap on it, it's going to open it right up.
Openanthropology.org.
Okay. Well, yeah, if you just go to Google, type in Gaddafi Green Book PDF, it should be like the first or second one that pops up.
Okay. Right on.
Black Power.
Black Power. For a lot of listeners, you know, I know there's a lot of books that are, you know, maybe hard to come across, but, you know, you type in, you know, PDF, you know, after the title of books, you'll be amazed at what you can get, you know. I mean, I'm talking about the complete book, you know, through PDF. Sometimes, you know, funds can be a little tight, but there's always, you know, avenues or different, you know, more than one way to skin a cat to get that information, and definitely hitting that number one is one of those ways. Black Power.
Black Power. I got a call from a sister today out of South Carolina. Shouts out to the sister in Carolina that called me today, but she was that's one of the ones
Power.
I was saying that she was really appreciating the content that we've been dropping on these broadcasts. And, you know, I was reminding her as well as different callers, you know, we use these 2 hours a night to do political education. And as Brother Greg has said, the comrades, Brother Termos, Brother Mama, Brother Eugene, we had Brother Emmanuel hosting for a good amount, even Brother Ketchup. You know, this broadcast has been going on since 2013, going on 7 years. And in fact, in a few days, I'm going to get the exact date, but we're getting close to our 1,000th episode. We're going to do a special broadcast on that night. You know,
that's
a lot of 1,000 episodes, 2 hour shows, But it's 2,000 hours we put out into the universe of straight black power. No cooning allowed internationally. When we look at the stats on our listening ship, we read the stats on how many people have listened or listened to this broadcast. Let me see the stats. I know it was like 500 and something thousand. It's over 500,000 people listen to this broadcast. Hold on. And we're talking about a global listening ship. We've had over 500,000 people to listen to our broadcast. Wow. And that's not nothing to turn your nose down, you know. They listen all over the planet. Let me see. I'm trying to go to where I can pull up these stats, guys. Dashboard. Well, anyway, while I'm pulling that up, but the fact that so many people are tuning in at the same time that are on the same frequency, meaning on the frequency of black nationalism, on the frequency of revolutionary energy. To go to the new Black Panther Party blog talk, you have to be of a certain frequency already. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we appreciate that. We appreciate our listeners. In fact, when we first started, we love you, Black brother. We love you, too. We love you, too, no doubt. So let's see here. I'm late. Now it says 602,936 listeners. That's over 500,000. You know what I'm saying? So we are having an impact. This broadcast is having an impact. It is, in fact, it went from number 8 on Blog Talk Radio to now number 7 on Blog Talk Radio in the political commentary genre. Of course, there's other genres like music and sports,
right.
But we're in the top 10. You know what I'm saying? Globally,
we need to commemorate that.
So you're saying over 500,000 people listening?
Over 500,000 people have listened all together in our all time history. Now all together. Now look, this is a 7-year period. Now how this breaks down per region I don't know, but I can tell you I'm looking at stats that say that 93% of the people who listen are in the United States. Okay, it's saying that 1.43% of the people who are listening are in Canada, 1.43% of the people who are listening are in the UK. 0.5% of the people are listening in Austria, but they're showing it lit up all over Australia, that is, not Austria. 0.50 in Australia, 0.29 in Sweden. I'm like, why the fuck they got Sweden on here? Really? Seriously? When you got all of these, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm going to tell you the countries in Africa. That's the one that gets me excited. It shows, I'm trying to go by my memory, but it's all the northern bloc. This looks like Tunisia. I see Saudi Arabia. I see Libya. What's the one next to Libya with the...
Tunisia.
I guess this would be Morocco.
Tunisia and then Morocco, and on the other side is Egypt.
You got
okay,
Algeria.
Egypt. Okay,
up
yeah, yeah. Egypt, yeah, we got Egypt, we got Algeria. Okay, then we're going to come down to South Africa. No, I'm going to go west. We got Ghana, Mali, Senegal, Sierra Leone, Cameroon, Nigeria, Bissau, all of the western coast. We got down here in the south, we got Botswana. I'm trying to go by the lake. I see Botswana, South Africa, Mozambique. Then we got some. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 countries in Africa.
Wow.
That's half.
Yeah.
We got Brazil. We got Chile. Just another country. Ecuador. Just 1, 2, 3, 4 in South America. We got all the Caribbean islands lit up here. We got Australia lit up. We got Russia lit up, China lit up. You know, it reminds me of these numbers that they give, the percentages that they give. It kind of reminds me of what you call it, Wikipedia. You know what I'm saying? Like, what kind of math they got? If you say 93% is in America, okay, 1%, 1.4 in Canada, so that's 4, 1.4 in UK, that's 95. So I guess that does make sense. Maybe, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, when you talk about half a million people.
Yeah, I want Blog Talk Radio to give us our stats in Africa. If we got the majority of the people are listening in Africa. It's 20 countries. So why don't we get the stats from Africa? You know what I'm saying? We want our stats from Africa. We love you guys in Africa for listening. Black power. Israel too. East Africa. That's what they taught us in South Africa. Israel too.
You know what we need to do, Sister Africa. Sister Crystal, you know what we need to do?
What's that?
We need to go ahead on and reach out to Chris, Sankara. And go on pay recognize this thing all the way.
Oh yeah, no doubt. We gotta, you know, it's funny that you said that because Chris has been strongly on my mind, especially when you were talking about the Omicron. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? And everybody know, you know, South Africa of all the places, the only place that's really got, you know, where they're pushing the damn colonialists out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They've been fighting hard in South Africa to get the colonialists out. You know, but you still got the devils down there. You know what I'm saying? But we do need to get Chris
and them doctors in South Africa. The doctors in South Africa fight like hell too. They coming out against that shit. They the ones bringing that information.
Oh yeah, we got comrades in Mozambique, Tanzania, all around there. Botswana, we met through the Pan African Conference. So we have most definitely we want to have the comrades to come on and give us some ground reports. We look to hear from, we had a clip from Brother Imani that we played on Thursday in Ethiopia, but we do, you know what I'm saying? That's something Brother Greg, yourself, myself, Eugene, you know, we need to start just expanding, brothers and sisters. We're living in a global time. You know, we've had a lot of guests on this show, too, as we're getting ready to close out 2022. We've had James Smalls, we've had Ray Winbush, Shahrazad Ali. I mean, we had some major hitters on this broadcast. We covered the gambit for reparation. Yes, we've had Brother Cabo. We've had a lot of great hitters on this. Fred Hampton Jr. You know what I'm saying? We're not gonna slow down at all. We're gonna keep turning up. You know, so we thank you, Brother Greg, since you come on board as our Minister of Culture. You know, you've been doing your thing too. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't get it twisted. You know, he's been very humble. You know, and his daughter, you know, she the star of the show. You know, the daughter, she the star of the show. But, you know, and Brother Tubmos, you came in, you know, pinch hitter. You know, and we really appreciate everyone that's put in. You know, I'm just having a moment. I'm thinking about our original host, his Brother Fahim Ali. May his spirit rest in peace.
I will let him finish the day.
Yes,
I looked at today on the back of that magazine, on the back of the new Black Panther Party magazine. I was going through my stuff. I was looking at Dr. Collins, at the original manual and all that stuff today. This solstice is really a restorative time for me. I'm at a real peaceful place, and it's so wonderful to be able to share this energy with the comrades. And be able to give this very poignant information at this time when we need it the most, right now.
Right.
We are in that moment of struggle in the midst of the genocide against African people where it is reaching its climax. And peace and black power to all of the comrades who understand that we are at that point in the African world revolution.
That's right. Hands off Africa, God damn it. Y'all think y'all got us, you know, caught up with this pandemic. No. You know, what the West has done, you know, it's still their own damn faith. And I wanted to ask, I forgot, there was another question I meant to ask about, you said something about, did you say that Russia was assisting forces in Africa?
Russia,
or was that
a paramilitary force called the Wagner Group that is being, I'm talking about, look this up on allafrica.com, the Wagner Group in Mali. Mali is hiring the Wagner Group, and France is losing their freaking mind, along with the United States, because they know the Ruskies want revenge. They want revenge for Syria. They want revenge for Afghanistan, and they're at a point where they are moving positively in the continent of Africa under the guise of these paramilitary forces. Y'all got the money. Y'all got the resources. Hey, I bring you liberation. You know, I hold you down, you know, because I'm trying to get at these crackers, and I see what they're doing on your continent. And if you give me the bread, I send my best boys to you. And that's what they're doing.
Well, the thing is that, you know, we're looking at the sign of the times. This is definitely, and we've said this, you know, we're living in the stages of the World War III. So we've named European nations where forces are gathering, right in the northeastern section, northeastern Africa, Israel. Israel is northeast Africa. Let's not get it twisted. And so is Saudi Arabia. We have forces of war that are going on all over this planet. We need to be very much on point of all of these wars that are escalating in Africa. Not just on point. We need to be engaged in pushing those who are in power here in the U.S. to back the hell up off of Africa. And, you know, it starts right here with you getting the basic information or the information that's being brought to you tonight and doing your own research, brothers and sisters. Brother Tubmos has laid it out. Do your own research. You know, we're not going to let the bar down. We're not going to dumb down this program. We're going to keep it going. We expect you to step up. And as Brother Greg is saying, not only do we want you to step up, participate. You know, participate night. If you're not going to speak out about something, would you actually fight for your people? You know, it comes a time where we have to not just, this program is for political education. This is not entertainment. You can turn on any radio station. You can turn on any television show. When you hear a Kibalon World News Africa War Report, it is just that. This is not entertainment. So keep this in mind. You know I was kind of joking about Brother Greg getting on you, but I was serious. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't a joke, but it was just how stern he sounds, like you're going to go to the principal's office if you don't press that number one. You know, and that's a fatherly, masculine energy of direction that we must appreciate. Not only appreciate.
Right. You hear his dollar. You see what work he's doing.
Right. We must appreciate that. And when Brother Emmanuel called in, I love my Brother Emmanuel.
Oh, yeah.
The brother put in work on this broadcast. We are a family. You know, we got some dynamic energy. Just don't get that twisted. Y'all dealing with some serious cats around here. You know, and we appreciate everybody. Everybody that's listening from across the globe. Black power. So, Brother Tubmos, call us on now, brother.
Thank you, African family worldwide, for listening to our Kibalon News and World Report with Brother Tubmos Sankara on New Black Panther Party Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned for further African information and stay engaged. Take the information, do your research, and get involved. This has been your combat reporter with the comrades, Brother Greg, Sister Crystal, Brother Manuel,
And Brother Bridge,
I'm here.
Is the sister still up?
Oh, baby girl's out.
She gone?
He out for the count.
Okay. Well, we're going to send it out for her. We're going to do it in her voice. Black power!
What?
Black power!
Signing out,
power,
pal. Black power.
Black power.
Black power.
Black power.